Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I think the church lady in the Saturday Night Live skit said it best. Well, isn't that special? Could it be Satan? It's kind of how we treat the New York Jets around here anyway. And yes, Sunday night was special, if you're a Pats fan. Surprising. Shocking. What else do we want to throw in there? Well, we can throw a little bit all of it in there, I think. Welcome inside the Playbook for Tuesday. I'm John Rook. This is how you reach us. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. If you're not a friend, you may request the friendship. We will answer it. Then you may chat, you may post, you may message on the Facebook page. And you can reach me via Twitter, @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722 is the Twitter address. All right, now that we've got all the contact information out of the way, as we always like to set it up for you. I mentioned on Facebook, in fact, yesterday, whenever I filed my story for Go Local Prov, I was at the game on Sunday. I wanted to see a show of hands. How many expected this to happen? And don't tell a fib, because you know who you are. In fact, I read an email just a short while ago from our friend Tiff in Wisconsin. It was in the inbox in here, Tiff. And, you know, if you're listening, I read the email that you sent to the PFW guys. And, you know, I don't mean to pick on you, but you did tell the guys that you couldn't watch the game because you didn't want to have to take losing. Really, what kind of a fan is that, Tiffany? I'm very disappointed. I mean, even when I know that, you know, my teams are invariably facing the guillotine, I still have to watch. And maybe that's just, you know, human nature. You know, we always, it's the whole rubbernecker theory, you know. You see the traffic accident on the highway, you've seen it a million times, but what do? You still turn and you look, and you back up traffic for everybody else. And to me, if it's my team, even if I know they're going down, I'm still going to turn and look. I'm going to watch. Why? Because it's my team. No matter how gruesome it is, I still want to see it. So I think it's just a human nature thing. This is Nitpick Tuesday. And I know that we've got plenty of nits to pick on, which I want you to do. So you need to line it up now via the phone on the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio@patriots.com, and on the Facebook page. You can also tweet them if you like. But at the same time, I have a question that I do want to ask today. And I think it's probably obvious to some of you who have listened to the show in the past, but I ask it in all seriousness because, frankly, you know, fans are front runners. That's what fans do. Everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Then when they lose, you jump off the bandwagon and, oh, poor is, you know, we suck. Oh, woe is us. And then when they win, then you're back on the bandwagon again and say, oh, I knew it all along. And it's fine. That's just the nature of fans. I get it. That's the way people operate. But I'm going to ask the question anyway today, and I want you to answer it. With the win over the Jets, as convincing as it might have been at 37-16, does it make the Patriots a true contender in the AFC? Are we back to being a contender again? I want you to answer that in all honesty. Based on Sunday night's game and what you saw or what you talked about or what you listened to or whatever it may be, are the Patriots once again at 6-3 and still in control of things in the AFC East? And what a huge swing it is. I'm sure we'll get to that before today is over. But does this now, in your eyes, make the Patriots a contender in the AFC again? Webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And let's go on Facebook. And let's also go to Vinny in New York. Vinny, thanks for hanging on. You're in the playbook today, Vinny.
Hey, John. All I got to say is I don't think they're contenders this year unless their defense pulls it together again, Andre Carter. Well, I just got one question, and why aren't they going after Darren Sharper? He's a free agent.
Yeah, well, we've kind of talked about that off and on over the course of the season. It's twofold. Number one, they did bring him in for workout earlier in the year. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they brought him in. So I would tell you that either A, because of the workout, they either liked what they saw and decided he wasn't a fit, or B, they just didn't like what they saw. I would also tell you that because Sharper's been around the path, you know, once or twice, that my guess is they feel like they'd rather go with the cheaper, less expensive, younger guys out there. Now, you may get yourself into a situation where you need bodies, and okay, then maybe you have to think about that, but frankly, if nobody has picked him up yet, don't you kind of feel like something's amiss here?
Yeah, but the only thing is you got Ross Ventrone and you got Sergio Brown. That's uncomfortable, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't disagree with that, okay? I really don't. But is he in the Patriots' eyes, in their evaluation of Darren Sharper, that tells me they don't believe he's better than either one of those two right now.
So, all right, one more question.
Okay.
Belichick.
Yeah.
Is he staying after the end of the season, you think, or is he gone?
I see no reason why he wouldn't stay. Why do you ask that?
Because it's been all over the – I'm from New York, and it's been all over.
All over like where?
Radio.
What, that he's leaving after the year?
Yeah, he's going to be gone because of the way he's been coaching.
Well, that's news to me. I haven't heard that. I mean, Bill Belichick can stay as long as he wants. He's coached for life here. So, you know, unless he wants to remove the CFL tag from himself, he's going to be here.
All right, good. All right. Thanks for the answering.
Yeah, you got it. Take care, Vinny. Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
You got it.
Bye.
So, that's interesting. I had not heard that yet. Maybe I haven't just looked in the right spots. Has anybody else heard that? Anybody else heard the Belichick rumors? Are they seriously? Are they in New York that, you know, he might be considering leaving after this year? I can't imagine. Unless it's a health issue, I can't imagine that would actually be factual. It could be just New York people trying to stir stuff up. Can't imagine that be factual unless, like I said, unless there's a health issue. I mean, you know, he's still trying to build this team into a consistent winner. I feel quite certain he's going to want to try to at least win at least one more, if not more than that. He has the capability to do that with the roster, although I think we can see that this roster is still limited defensively. All things that we can kind of nitpick about here momentarily. But I got to tell you, that's interesting. All right, it bears watching. But, again, let's consider the source and where it's coming from in New York. All right, let's go to Steve and Killeen. Steve, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how are you?
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right. Quick nits. The same situation we've been dealing with all season long.
Yeah.
The defensive secondary is still
questionable
at best, and then with injuries, we just don't have the depth. And I don't know, you know, why that wasn't addressed or how it's being addressed. And considering all the moving parts that we've had, the Giants game, you know, It was what it was. Missed field goal basically decided that one for us. And that game, in my mind, really probably shouldn't have even been close. But for the lack of a secondary, and we just didn't get a consistent pass rush. The game against the Jets Sunday was what I and hopefully you and the rest of the Patriots Nation was hoping we would see, a level of consistency and execution that we just hadn't gotten by and large until this point.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it happen against the Jets, just, you know, that's icing on the cake. I'll take that any day.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, didn't you think that the pass rush made the secondary somewhat passable, somewhat plausible as a professional secondary?
Well, that and the other thing is we got ahead and forced what we needed in a perfect storm of having Sanchez trying to play from behind and execute.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime the Pats can put you in that situation, and we were doing it with a 3 and 4 man pass rush, it's great because then it elevates the level of play for everybody because there's a level of predictability.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the moving parts, I think, have been more the concern for me as a fan, and good, bad, or indifferent, Belichick is a genius or not, is irrelevant when you don't have consistent personnel. You can't get to a level of consistency. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I can understand that. I mean, and I think what you're saying certainly makes perfect sense. You know, I think we all realize it kind of is what it is defensively right now. And the secondary is not going to get any appreciably better. In fact, it could still get worse simply because we don't know yet what the status will be for Devin McCourty, who apparently has a shoulder separation. We don't know how long that might keep him out. But I would tell you, though, that, you know, as long as you're consistently, you know, getting some kind of pressure on the quarterback, and I really think the front four has done a consistently better job over the last few weeks, and it just kind of manifested itself Sunday night, you know, with actually getting to Sanchez. I think Sanchez is partially responsible for some of that. If you'll notice how he stepped up into the pocket, it seemed like he stepped right into the path of somebody who was charging. But I would tell you that if you're able to get 2, 3, 4 sacks a night, even, you know, Antoine Molden and Kyle Arrington can defend. You know, they can stay with guys long enough. So, you know, it's just a question of switching things up, giving the opposing offense something to think about, or giving them a look that they didn't expect. And if you can continue to sort of mix and match, and rather than be predictable, which I think the Patriots defense has largely been, they've been predictable, then I think you're okay. At least you can, you know, at least you got a fighting chance. This sort of takes me back, and somebody mentioned this in the press box the other night on Sunday, but this sort of takes me back to, when was it, 03?
Yeah, 03. Yeah.
03, when we had so many injuries, and that's when we first saw Troy Brown playing back there. And, you know, we had guys back there that really had no business playing back there, but somehow this team just sort of rallied. And I got to tell you, I was real impressed because I didn't really see much of a drop-off. I was real impressed on Sunday night when Jeff Tarpanian and Tracy White made, you know, regular rotations in the linebacking core because they didn't have spikes, and we all know that Cunningham has been a no-show. So I said, you know what, maybe, just maybe, the light bulb has gone off here. We'll give the guys that are out there the benefit of the doubt. Let's give them some credit rather than banging on things that are wrong. I got to give them a little bit of credit. Maybe these rookies, you know, maybe this is some of the, you know, continuing the tradition of finding these undrafted free agents that are going to do it. You're going to hit and miss, and maybe these are the ones that are actually hitting on.
And we got spoiled last year to a certain extent, John, going 14-2 with a group of unknowns and untested that kind of coalesced into the defense that we had last year. Then we ended up with injuries and trades, and that cohesion that we thought we'd come into this season with was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, what we do is we manage somehow to cobble this group of quote-unquote no-name players together and win. And it's always fun when everybody goes, well, we've got the worst defense in the NFL. I'm going, yeah, if you look at yards per game, let's talk about points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about points given up by this defense. And, yeah, they're not the best of the best, but considering what's happened on that side of the ball this year, the injuries, the changes in personnel, and to still be in the top third of the NFL.
Right.
You know, I can take that all with a grain of salt and kind of, you know, ease back on the nits a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they showed a stat Sunday. There was like 72 different personnel changes on defense this season alone or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah,
I'm sure Eric can pull up the number.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's basically three rotations or more of your roster and a half, basically, that you've rotated in and out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So, it's a lot of changeover. It's not a perfect situation. It's difficult at times to be able to keep up with. We all like to bang on, you know, the guys that are out there and say that, oh, they can't play. But then again, these are the next guys in the process. And this is the one thing that the organization has been very steadfast with over the course of the last, you know, 10 to 12 years. The fact is that they expect, there's a certain level of expectation that when one guy goes down, and invariably somebody's going down somewhere, somehow, it happens all the time. But when somebody goes down, the expectation is for the next person in line to step up and step in and do the job. And they don't think, you know, two twits about it down the hallway. We talk about it all the time. They don't say, oh, you know, okay, so-and-so's hurt. Well, that sucks, but so-and-so is ready to step in. And they expect that person to step in and do the job, regardless of his pedigree, regardless of his background, regardless of where he's from or who he is or how big he is or how fast he is.
Yeah, and you know, anybody going, well, you know, the this is all new for the Patriots, like you mentioned, Troy Brown.
Yeah.
He was doing kick returns. He was a receiver and a defensive back. He was literally playing 55 minutes a game toward the end of the season when the Pats were decimated in 03.
Sure.
So this is not a new philosophy. But what frustrates people is somehow, more than any other NFL team that I've ever seen, the Patriots managed to make that mindset work, John. And that's what just leaves me shaking my head going, okay, you had a guy who was an outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You moved him to a defensive end, and there's no breakdown in your defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, though you are a genius. I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, I mean, you know, it kind of is what it is, right?
And that's definitely what it is. You know, looking ahead to Kansas City, I'm just hoping that we have the same level of consistency where the mistakes that were un-Brady-like mistakes.
Yeah.
And again, when I looked at the picks this year, I'm going, okay, if I look at the numbers for what they really are and go, okay, four of those are really Tom's fault.
Right.
The other six were probably just bad decisions that resulted in bad things happening when he was trying to force a play to be that really probably shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I take the good with the bad like everybody else, and I'm glad for this win looking ahead. You know, right now, we're at the top of the division. If the Jets get surprised by the Broncos, which could happen,
right?
Then we're even in better situation going into Monday.
Well, you've got control. You've got control of the division now, all right? That's clear. I think Buffalo's fading. I think, you got a two-game lead over the Jets. I think, you know, this team is in pretty good shape right now. So...
Yep.
You know, that's why I asked the question, though, and I want you to answer it, Steve. Now, you know, that we're back in control of the division, is this team, in your eyes, right now, because of what happened on Sunday, is this team back amongst the elite in the AFC?
I believe so. I mean, just looking at some of the other elite teams, you look at the Ravens, for instance, and, you know, they've made their mistakes. You look at even the Bills and how they had been playing, and as you're saying, they're starting to wane, which bodes well for us looking at how our season is supposed to end. You know, as unlike the Jets, fortunately the Patriots are where they are, where we control our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
No different than last year. Slightly different record, but no different than last year. We weren't wondering, well, what do the Patriots need to have happen with some other team in order for them to control their destiny?
Mm-hmm.
It's controlled right now, John. So if we continue being consistent and executing, And you know, having some mistake-free football games, I see this second half of the season going fairly well for us.
Well,
you know, maybe drop one more. Yeah, there's that possibility. But you know, I also think we could probably run the table to the end of the year too, if you know, health concerns and the defensive secondary aside for just a moment.
Right.
If those things come together, then you know the shot's there.
I hope you're right. It certainly will make things interesting as we kind of progress the regular rest of the season, because it certainly stands to reason, Steve, that you know the Patriots should be favored in just about everything they've got left on the docket here.
Yeah, well, looking at it, I mean, we've got the Colts, who are a non-factor. We've got, just based on, you know, no disrespect to them, but losing your franchise quarterback and, again, injuries and all those other things, not trying to make excuses, I understand how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
You lose that level of consistency in an elite quarterback in the NFL. You know, it's, again, the Patriots have been extremely blessed in that, where we lost a fairly elite quarterback in Bledsoe and had Brady step in.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of had a sort of gravy train for a while, John, that I think we at times take for granted, and realizing the personnel that the front office and the crafts were able to bring in, and just the level of talent that we've been able to rotate in and out, because, you know, the things that make me crazy, fine, right, we'll get rid of a three-time Pro Bowl player and bring in these guys that nobody knows.
Right.
Because we're going to build what we need to from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, again, you have to sit back and, you know, go to church, say your prayers, and go, okay.
All true. All true. Absolutely. How are things in Killeen, Texas?
Hey, things are going well. Actually, I'm looking at changing my career, John, and I might be working for a little company known as the United States Army, helping them with their IT stuff. So.
Really? Good for you. Yeah. Congratulations. I hope that works out.
Fingers crossed there for a non-military guy.
Absolutely. You know? That'd be great.
That's a cool thing. You know, for me, it's just giving back and saying thanks.
Totally. Absolutely. Great job.
All right.
That's awesome.
Hey. Enjoy the cold for me. I'm still working on the corny dogs. I haven't forgot you guys. So we'll try to pull that out together, hopefully, before the end of the year, John.
Oh, Steve, you're a good guy. Thanks so much.
All right, no problem. God bless.
Talk to you soon. All right, Steve in Killeen, Texas. Opens up a line for you at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Get a couple of Facebook posts out of the way here from those that want to answer the question. Jay sends a note, and he says, the win was Brady-rific. Are we a contender? Well, a week ago, Baltimore was the class of the AFC. How true is that, by the way? Baltimore is the class of the AFC. Of course we're a contender. It's wide open. And he says, by the way, the Pats worked out sharper. His knee is weak. Yes, that is correct. They have worked him out in the past. His knee was weak back in week two or whenever it was. So that's part of the reason why. And I want to take a chance. Don't know that he'll even be available for that matter. You never know. Tim says, well, oops, here it goes. All right, hang on. Here we go. Tim, contender. Still not sold on that. Unfortunately, we don't face anemic pass offenses like the Jets every week. I'm still more comfortable at third and under three on defense than I am at third and over 10, and I don't see the secondary changing this season. Until I see a slowdown, a quarterback with a good arm, I'm reining in my expectations. You know, Tim, that's, you know, I got to admit, you are, you and I think a lot alike. You and I think a lot alike. Doesn't necessarily make me right, make you right. Could make us a couple of idiots here, but I like how you think. And then he says, here's my nitpick. Kickoffs. Gostkowski was able to bury the ball deep in the end zone before the rule changed to kick from the 35, so I'm assuming he's being instructed to kick shorter. Why? When playing against one of the better return teams in the league, why even give them the chance of a return? Why give our guys an extra high-speed play to get injured on? Well, that's also a very good nitpick. And because you brought it up, Tim, and you seem to bring this out in me, like I said, we probably do think alike here. Here's my nitpick. I wrote about this in Go Local Prov in my game story from Sunday, and you know, if you didn't get a chance to read it, here it is for you. The next time that a Patriots receiver calls for a fair catch inside his own 10-yard line, I am going to scream out loud. And I want everyone to join with me. Scream out loud. Not right now. No, no, no. Shh. Don't want to disturb the office. But you know what I'm saying. If Julian Edelman or Wes Welker or whomever is back there returning kicks, is inside his 10, feeling a punt, and catches the ball, I want to run out there and personally horsewhip him. What happened to the adage that when the ball is kicked in? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what we want to do, Kev. Can we get a couple more for good measure here? This is what's going to happen. Thank you. All right. What happened to the old adage of letting the ball drop inside the 10?
I can see Rook coming out from the press box with his belt off, all ready to go.
Hey, you, come over here. Hey, Edelman. Let me give you a taste of your own medicine. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Oh, my goodness. What happened? I mean, don't you at least want to take a chance that the ball could go into the end zone or you could get the ball on the 20-yard line? Why are we calling? How many times did the Patriots put themselves in a bad situation field position-wise early in that game on Sunday? Two, three times at least. At least. Stop fair catching the ball inside the 10. Holy crap. Who am I lying to? Am I lying to anybody here? Thank you. Honestly, that's a cuttable offense. Next time it happens, you come off the field, you're in the unemployment line. Because it's sheer, unadulterated stupidity. That's all there is to it.
I thought you meant by cuttable offense, you were just going to come out and stab someone.
No, 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 no. I wouldn't do that. I'm not, you know, no. I mean, I talk a good game. But when it comes to actual, you know, no, I'm total wimp on that. You ought to be glad, Kev, because you could be in line, brother. All right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Tim, thank you. You got me going there. I'm totally motivated now. All right, webradio at patriots.com. We'll sneak a timeout here. Want you to continue with the phone calls, the emails, and the Facebook posts. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And again, Nitpick Tuesday, but I want you to consider in your nitpicks today, with the win on Sunday, does this in your mind put the Patriots back among the elite in the AFC? Not just the East, but the AFC. For this season, now that you know what this team is and who they are and who they're likely to be, can they still get to the big one? Coming up in the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Yeah, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Tiffin, Wisconsin. I called her out. Here she is. One thing I like about her, she always shows up, right? She says, "Hi, John. I never turn and look at traffic accidents. Never, ever. I know I suck. I'm a doom and gloom, and I can't take any more kind of fan. It is what it is." I'm the fan that will turn off the TV.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Bill. I am the fan that will turn off the TV if my team is losing and make myself go to sleep in hopes that when I wake up, the Patriots pulled it out and won. See, Tiff, you sound just like my 16-year-old. My son does that at home. Our team's losing, and he's like, "Dad, I can't watch anymore. I'm turning it off." Like, no, the hell you're not. I'm watching it to the bitter end. Come on, Tiff. By the way, she says, "I missed the entire 2008 season because I could stand to look at a game after the Super Bowl loss." Come on. As far as I'm concerned, the 08 season didn't happen. What I do not ever do is watch other teams instead of the Patriots. If I'm not watching the Patriots because we aren't playing well, I don't watch any other games. I will not watch or listen to any sports shows. Goodness gracious. See, that's not right. You're depriving yourself. Tiff. Nitpick, she says, "The guy who made Merriweather-esque dumb play that caused McCourty to become injured on a play that he was going to make." Well, we thought about Sterling Moore, I believe. Sterling Moore, just, you know, tried to go for the receiver. It was Plaxico Burress, and he ended up hitting McCourty, and I think that might have been the play that helped McCourty separate his shoulder, allegedly. The other stupid thing was that the officiating crew was horrible because there was no way that that was an unnecessary sportsmanlike conduct, whatever, against Moore because he hit his own guy. They didn't even hit Burress. Stupid play. Gut reaction by the official that was wrong. Wrong. Go back and look at it. Wrong. Now you got me going, Tiff. Now you just got me going. Don't know if I can handle this. Jay says, "Last week the Ravens were the highest-ranked AFC team in the ESPN Power Rankings, number 3 overall. Only 2 AFC teams are in the top 8 this week. Baltimore is 6, New England is 8. My bad, Steelers are number 4 this week. So that's 3 AFC teams in the top 8. Colin Coward ranks the Patriots number 4 and top team in the AFC behind Green Bay, the Giants, and San Francisco." I don't know that you put the Patriots behind the Giants. I realize the Giants just beat them 2 weeks ago. I still don't think the Giants are a better team than what we saw. I think the Patriots just played like crap. But I think you'd have to put them behind Green Bay and San Francisco. There, I kind of answered my own question. What do you think? Steve sends this on Facebook. "Playoff hopes rested on this game because of divisional opportunities and wild card hopes. The win this week put the Pats on top of the AFC in a 2-game lead ahead of the Jets, and the Bills are slipping. With the Bengals and Ravens playing as well as they are, it may be doubtful for the Jets to get in." I would agree. "This would have been the Pats had they lost. This isn't one of those they suck because they lose, they're awesome because they win type of situations. Please don't turn this into a situation where the fans are so topsy-turvy now that they're in the playoffs, it's a statistics issue. I always believe this team will win the rest of their games after this one. So the win doesn't change this fact. It's just now, given the AFC rankings, that they're in the playoffs. Furthermore, I don't think they'll get the bye because Pittsburgh and Houston are playing well. However, if Houston begins losing because of the quarterback issue, then they'll get second. But the Steelers need to lose for the Pats to get anywhere near first place. Okay, understood. Gotcha. Good points. Good points. Let me see. Where am I going here? Let's go back to the phones. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al, how's it going?
Pretty good there, John Rook. Listen, you know, there's one thing I really hate to do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Go.
And, you know, I really hate to break my arm patting myself on the back. But I think if you recall, last week, John, my exact words to you was, quote, we have the Jets right where we want them.
Okay.
Unquote.
All right.
So, yes, I think I can take credit for predicting this fabulous victory here on.
You're making my point.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. We all did. It did bring back sort of those warm, fuzzy memories of Hank Poteet and Earthwind Moreland.
It did a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Who are those guys playing defensive back?
You know what?
You know,
it doesn't really matter as long as you're getting that kind of a pass rush. You know, dare I say, myself and Kevin Collins could also probably square up back there as long as Andre Carter is, you know, getting it done around the end.
There you go. Got it. You know, the pass rush emerged this week, and they were all getting through there. I think that Andre Carter got the sacks, but I think they were all pressuring him, and sometimes Sanchez is running away from one guy, and he ends up in the arms of Carter. You know, that type of thing. I mean, I think they all contributed. So that was very good to see. As far as a nitpick, I was really worried about Brady's arm in the first half. I'll tell you, he really came back strong in the second half.
That's a good one, Al, and I'm glad you brought it up because that was also on my list besides the catching the fair catch inside the 10. Was mm-hmm. Tom Brady's hurt. I'm convinced of it.
You mentioned it last week, and I think that absolutely convinced me. I really looked for it this week.
He looked like
you had mentioned it, and I think you're absolutely right.
Al, didn't he look like a pro golfer who has the yips on the putting green? I mean, he kept jerking things and yanking things and throwing the passes into the ground, and I'm like, what the hell is this? He's hurt. And I actually had one of the New York TV guys who was sitting next to me in the press box, and he looked, and, you know, we were watching it together, sitting next to me, and he goes, I think you're right. I think he's hurt. I said, there's no way that can be a natural throw for him because it looked like he's pulling everything and he's favoring something because he's just not following through on his throws.
Yep.
He's just,
yep,
he's just yanking it.
I thought there's something going on up there reminiscent of the time in the preseason when, of all people, Albert Haynesworth landed on him and kind of messed him up there, you know, for that season where he was, you know, maybe not throwing it as well as he would have liked. And I thought this was, you know, maybe something had happened again. You could tell, not just on the ones where he'd throw a pass out in the flat and he'd skip it out there. But even when he had time to really step in and throw, I remember one ball that he had a guy in the end zone. I think he had a shot at a long touchdown pass, and it was just underthrown.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had plenty of time, nobody hurrying him, could step in it and really whip it down there, and it was still underthrown.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, there's something wrong up there. But, boy, in the second half, looked like the old Brady. So I don't know if it's something that's treatable or quite what we're doing. But, I hope he can hang in there because certainly all these other quarterbacks are getting hurt. You know, Castle's out for the year. Schaub's out for the year.
Yeah, well.
We got to hang on, which is, I guess, good for us, but we got to hang on to ours if we can.
We kind of know that how that goes around here with what happened a few years ago. But, I know that there will be a lot of people that would think, well, even a Tom Brady who's not 100% is better than what most people have, and I would tend to agree with that. But it just looked to me, it was just disturbing to see. It looked a little alarming. And mm-hmm. because of that, then, you know, if he's really, you know, favoring some things, then the Patriots have to figure out a way not only to continue to keep him healthy, but also not to get him to kill his receivers, because I swear, I thought there were another couple of times that I thought Wes Welker was going to get decapitated.
Oh, you read my mind. We're going to get that kid killed.
We are. I swear to God. We're clearly moving toward the first live decapitation in the NFL. And unfortunately, it's going to happen to Welker.
He's got a lot of guts, but we got him running into linebackers and running into, you know, headlong safeties. And of course, we get all of these helmet-to-helmet contact calls. It seems like Welker can't buy one, no. But you know, we get one, like you say, that was really, we had our guy hitting McCourty there.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, it was Sterling Moore.
And
Sterling Moore was the
really,
one that hit him.
Really, Burris just acted that penalty. He just sort of fell over backwards.
He did. It was a weak call.
You know, that was an acting job.
Absolutely. Weak call. Very weak. But it was Sterling Moore that made the hit. It wasn't even McCourty.
Sterling Moore, excuse me.
Right.
I got him confused with Earthwind Moreland. I'm sorry.
No, well, that's okay. It's
It could have been Hank Poteet off the bench over there.
So much flotsam and jetsam, so, you know.
As far as are we a contender, I think that's a good question, a fair question. I think that it's a weird thing in the AFC this year, but I think that really, you know, I think us and the Steelers, you could probably chalk up their win over us to home field possibly, and we're pretty even with the Steelers. You know, we'll know better what to expect the next time. I think they kind of surprised us with the way that they played.
Yeah.
This last time.
Mm-hmm.
But the team that I think is a wild card out there in the AFC that is just hard to figure is the Ravens. I mean, that team could literally be undefeated. They could be 9-0 right now, considering who they've lost to. They've beaten the Steelers twice, and they've lost at Seattle, at Jacksonville, and at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Three games, I'm sure they were favored in all three of those games. And really, they could be should be undefeated. They should be 9-0 right now. So, I don't know. I mean, and you think of them as being this team that has the good defense, that plays well on the road, and here they've lost these three road games to inferior opponents. So, I don't know what to make of them, but I'd like to put them up there with the Patriots and Steelers, but I guess I'm not sure now. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, honestly, I still think, you know, we've played, you know, we've got 9 games in here. We're through 10 weeks. I think right now in the AFC, as I said earlier, you know, I think the Steelers obviously deserve to be up there. I think the Bengals are close, but I think the Patriots probably deserve to be second right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the way the defense is, I'm convinced if the pass rush, which still overall seems to be coming on, can continue to play like this, there's no reason why the Patriots can't grow a little bit more as a defensive unit and basically keep them in games. Now, that being said, you can't afford to lose too many more bodies because now they're down to, you know, free agents, you know, playing linebacker in Tarpinian and White. So, and getting regular reps at linebacker. So, I don't know how much further you can go with that. Pretty soon, you know, we're going to have more than Julian Edelman. You know, we're going to get some running backs and some wide receivers, other wide receivers playing back in the defensive backfield if it keeps going.
That was a great tackle he made.
Sure it was. You know what?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
But they also, they've been doing this for a while. You know, we just never put any real credibility into Edelman actually playing in the secondary. But, you know, when we saw it in practice, and we've seen it in practice, on a rare occasion, it's kind of like, oh, you know, they're just kind of grooming somebody along the lines of what they did with Troy Brown back earlier in the decade. And sure enough, that's what they do. They always take guys that, you know, they're looking for ways to get guys who can make plays on the field. And one of the things that we've been banging on, Al, that you know over the last couple of weeks, is the lack of playmakers on this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You need guys that can just make plays regardless. Guys who've got some speed, some agility, you know, that have a nose for the ball and understand the game. And so really, putting Edelman back there is just another process. If you got a guy that has some ability here, let's get him back there. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can make a play or two. That's all that is. And I think it's a sound philosophy, and I think they should do it more often.
Oh, I agree. I think, you know, it's the same thing with Troy Brown. Who better to guard a slot receiver than another slot receiver.
Exactly. You know, and I don't know why other teams don't think of this more. I mean, we look at things in the NFL, one-dimensional. Guys at one, this is the position he plays, and that's it.
That's right. But specialist.
But now in this
day
and age.
He's a third and eight linebacker.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on.
You know, in this day and age of 50-man rosters and guys who are, you know, I mean, you've only got roughly 40-plus healthy guys anyway that can really play in any given game. Why aren't more teams thinking two-dimensionally and multi-dimensionally and two-way players? You got guys who are special teams guys that are playing on special teams and their backups either on offense or defense. Well, why can't you turn them more into more backups? In other words,
right. You
know, you got a guy who, you know, flies down the field and makes a special teams tackle. Well, then why the heck can't he go in there and get some reps at defensive back or at linebacker? And the question is, you know, even though you don't think about it, more teams probably actually do that than we really realize. It's just when you see an offensive guy who's primarily an offensive guy line up and get regular reps at defense, it's kind of like, oh, well, they must be hurt, or, oh, they must really suck for a guy like that to be, you know, in that position. I'm like, no, that's not necessarily the case. You should really do this more often because it's in the best interest of your roster to develop as much depth as you possibly can have, because now we're at the time of year, in week 10, we're at the time of year where roster depth is unbelievably tight for everybody because of the injuries.
Well, there's one thing I noticed Sunday night, and it was really interesting to see, and I think we're going to see it again. If we can ever get all three of these tackles that we have healthy at the same time, I mean, 100%, if that's possible, you know, Matt Light, Solder, and Sebastian Vollmer, if we can get them all healthy. One thing I saw Sunday, and I don't know if you noticed this play, but usually where Gronkowski comes across in motion as the wham tight end who's going to, you know, maybe whamming up the hole there, try to open a hole for the running back or something, or he's coming across in that H-back position. Mm-hmm. They had Nate Solder do that, okay, which maybe frees up Gronkowski to do something else.
Right.
Okay? I mean, this is the kind of versatility I think that you're talking about. And I think we can make these things happen and probably be in a good position to experiment a little more considering the schedule that we have coming up here, which may allow us to do some of that experimentation.
Well, I hope that's the case. Yeah, I do hope that's the case. I don't think you ever want to put yourself in a position where you could end up losing one that you should win, because now the Patriots are in this position now. They should be favored pretty much the rest of the way, to my way of thinking, looking at the schedule. Doesn't mean I think they're going to run the table, but
no,
you know, could
they're probably going to lay an egg somewhere.
Probably,
you know,
but
it's the NFL.
12 wins, 12 wins should be enough to, you know, solidify their hold on the AFC East. I don't know that 12 gets them a bye. It still could, but then the tiebreaker's probably
losing the quarterback. With Houston losing their quarterback, it could be us in Pittsburgh getting the bye.
It could be. I would just, you know, I personally believe if the Patriots run the table, they'll definitely have the bye. But, you know, 12-4, I think they'll be in the running. 11-5.
That'll be close.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So I think
it'll be close.
So I don't think you want to play with fire too much, Scarecrow. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is that I think with one of the advantages, I guess, from having this young team with all these guys that are presumably just thrilled to be in the league, not, and also they're on the Patriots. I mean, all these undrafted free agents and, you know, 85th round draft picks and everything else that we've got out there, is that you don't figure that they're going to become overconfident against the opponent. They're going to play hard for every opponent.
Yeah.
They're not going to be maybe like a veteran team that might say, oh, geez, look at these. Mm-hmm. We got the Colts. They're, you know, they're winless and we should just be able to win this game blindfolded. You know, a veteran team might do that, I think. But I think a young team that's playing scared, you know, is going to play hard every down.
Well,
so
I think
we got
a chance.
That's
your point.
And we might lose, but it won't be because we let down. I think it'll be for, you know, because something happens. You know, interceptions, penalties, whatever, like in the Buffalo game.
And we've seen that happen this year. You're right. Absolutely. That's a good point, Al.
Take care.
All right, buddy.
John, always a pleasure.
Thanks.
And I will call you again next week.
You got it.
All right, babe. Take care.
Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. It opens up some spots for you. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get a couple of emails in here. Webradio@patriots.com. Who did I leave in? Oh, yeah, Tim in Baltimore. John, I have to admit that I was approaching this game against the Jets like a prisoner approaching a firing squad. I was so sure that the Pats were going to lose that I changed my computer password at work to Pats Suck. Oh, now that's just pure sacrilege. Somebody revoke his fandom. Right? You got to revoke his fandom. But now that they won, I think all of Pats Nation, have done a complete 180.
I heard it's retarded or something.
Now I'm concerned that the Pats won't be challenged for the rest of the regular season because they have the easiest schedule in the NFL. That's the only nitpick I can come up with. The Pats schedule's too easy. Something tells me Tim's, you know, kind of playing with us here. But that's all right. I like it. I like it. I like it. Fans are fickle, right? Tyler from Georgia says, it was great to see a win against New York. It was great to go see plenty go right on Sunday night. That said, it is Nitpick Tuesday. Bill always talks about how the game is won, is all three phases, but I think the Pats played decent in two and a half of them. The O finally came back. D played decently, especially considering they picked up some of their Cub players out of the parking lot on the way in, and the kick coverage were able to get down the field to slow the return. Unfortunately, the kick return team was never able to get it together. Woodhead's a great player to cheer for, but I just don't think he needs to be our returner. Every time he gets the ball, I just want him to take a knee in the end zone because I know he isn't going further than the 20, and when he leaves the end zone, he still has a chance to get stopped before then. I think if the return game had been more solid, then the O could have started several of those drives with better field position. Brady could have come out of his slump earlier in the game. I don't think it would have necessarily changed the score. The win was great without it, but it could have put the game away a little earlier, kept me from almost having a heart attack in the first half of the game. That's a good point, though, about the field position. Tyler, I kind of agree with that. And a lot of that was on the punt returns that were caught inside the 10! That said, it was a great win. Who knows if the remainder of the season is as easy as some have claimed, but I think in the long run, the momentum built from beating the Jets will be more beneficial than momentum starting with a possible win over the Chiefs. All right, Tyler, good stuff. Ramon in Texas says, isn't Vince supposed to be one of our defensive playmakers? I was disappointed to see Sanchez run that touchdown in on him. I understand that he was engaged and may not have gotten the best opportunity to make that play, but playmakers make plays, and what Wilfork did was not a play. Should I be angry at him? No, because Ramon, here's the thing about Wilfork. He's the MVP of this team this year. I said this, I think, Kev, maybe 2-3 weeks ago? But I think Wilfork is the most important, most valuable player on this team, and that includes Tom Brady. Because while this defense has struggled, Wilfork has been literally the rock in the middle that other guys have been leaning on. He's been the only one making plays. And it's impossible. It is virtually impossible to make a play every time the ball comes your way. So I think you got to cut the guy a little slack, Ramon. Now, if it was repeated, if we see, you know, him get beat time and time again, kind of like what we saw 2 weeks ago with Albert Haynesworth before Haynesworth got cut. All right? He got schooled. It was kind of like, well, he kind of gave up. If we see Wilfork do that, then you can be angry. But he hasn't done that. In fact, he's been far from it. So, no, I don't think you have a right to be angry. I think you have a right to just consider him human, and he's trying his butt off out there, and he really is, to me, the true MVP of this team. Joshua says, I hate to say it, but no, a good quarterback is still going to shred this secondary. Sanchez sucks. People should not get carried away. I love the rest of the Pats' schedule, but I don't have a lot of faith for the playoffs. I can see why you'd say that. I can see why you would think that they're not a true contender. But I would also argue that if they're able to continue to get some kind of consistency with the pass rush, that maybe this team does become a true contender within the confines they reside. I mean, it's the AFC. Unless you completely fall flat on your face due to your own transgressions, you're going to win the division. You got a one-game lead on Buff. You have a virtual two-game lead over the Jets. You should win the division. You should win the division. And that right there is going to put you in the running at the very least for a bye. And if you go past the bye, you know, get the bye, you can rest some walking wounded and get a, you know, a roster back, then, you know, frankly, I'd be okay. Look, Patriots played miserably at Pittsburgh, all right? They did not play a good game. You know that. I know that. Patriots know that. Lost 25-17, which was really a one-possession game until the very end. I mean, the Steelers had them 2-1 in time of possession a couple of weeks ago, did they not? And you were still in the ball game toward the end. So the Patriots played like crap, were in the game. They've gone to Pittsburgh and won before. And so if it comes down to it again where you got to go back to Pittsburgh to win an AFC championship, can they win? They absolutely can. Will they? Well, who the hell knows? Because there's still too much football to be played between now and that point in time in January. But it can happen. But I can certainly understand your doubts. Could certainly understand your lack of faith based on the last 2 years alone. I can understand that. But let's let this continue to play out. Let's let this continue to play out. Tony says, all I have to say is in my email from last week. Did we not read it last week, Tony? All right, I'll read it now. So optimistic, John. Not even in a homeristic way. I had doubts about the Cowboys game. I had doubts about the Steelers, even though everyone else thought a Pats win was a foregone conclusion. And I definitely had doubts about the Giants game. However, here, for some reason, I just feel like Tom's due for a great game. He's also due for a win in New York. He hasn't won there since 2007. Finally, I feel that with their backs to the wall, the Patriots will win. In fact, simply for the reason that almost everyone is counting them out, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Pats blowout and the defense picking off Sanchez three times. Wow, Tony. Tony. Should we all give him a collective pat on the back? Kevin, do we have a pat on the back? We don't have... What can we give him? You win a prize. I like that. That's good, Tony. All right, so you were... Okay, you had some foresight. That's good. You had your crystal ball. Tony, what's going to happen this week? Can you tell us? Look, if you're that accurate and you're going to pat yourself on the back and you're going to send me your email again that apparently I didn't read last week, then all right, now that it's on you. You got to tell me. You got to tell us what's going to happen Monday night, right? We're waiting. Well, we're waiting. Do you have that one?
Well, we're waiting.
That's Judge Smales, right?
Yes, it is. It's Judge Smales. Nick in Victoria says, first, I did not think the Pats would win. I thought it was going to be a three-point loss, so I'll suck it up and admit it. I was wrong. And yes, we are a contender. I have always thought we were a contender, or else I wouldn't watch or be a Pats fan. I just thought the odds were stacked against us on Sunday. I looked at the D and honestly couldn't say they could hold the Jerks to under two touchdowns. If anyone said that, they should move to Vegas and make a living off of sports betting. Don't disagree with that. Lastly, please no more corner passes to Danny Woodhead. I love Danny, but he just didn't have the height to grab those passes. We have Hernandez for those. Hopefully 0-for-2 on those plays tells Tom, don't do it again. Okay. I don't think you're off base with that, to be honest with you. But thanks, Nick. Okay. Bernard says, the Pats are and always were contenders. It just comes down to the matchups. We are vulnerable to teams with good defenses and a good quarterback. We turned the ball over against the Bills, lost to the Giants and Steelers. Two teams with those elements by one score each. Fans act like we were 0-10, so calm down. Go Pats, he says. That's fair. That's fair. And actually, that's pretty much cutting to the chase, Bernard. We're vulnerable to teams with good defense. We're vulnerable to teams with a good quarterback. Doesn't mean you lose them, but certainly just means that, you know, probably going to be in for a battle, right? And then, of course, we turned the ball over against the Bills, still only lost by a field goal. Lost to the Giants and Steelers, two teams, of course, that you lost to by one score each. You were in the game at the end. Should have beaten the Giants, should have beaten the Bills. Okay, the Patriots, in all honesty, as poorly as they played defensively, they should be 8-1, right? Don't you think? Probably should be 8-1. If they were 8-1, well, then we certainly wouldn't be having some of the conversations that we're having right now. That's why, in a sense, whether we really think about it or not, in a sense, they really are contenders, even if you don't want to admit it. They are, by default almost, they are, because they lead the division. But when you look at it, they're really two scores away from being 8-1. And if you want to stretch three scores away from a potential 9-0, although I don't think we want to put them in the same class as Green Bay, although Green Bay has its vulnerabilities on defense, except we didn't see any of that last night, did we? So I'm just saying, you're probably not that far off, and the defense really isn't what we've been used to seeing over the last few years. But the signs are there that the pass rush, with any sort of consistency, like it played with on Sunday, this team is going to have an opportunity to probably run the table. If everybody stays healthy, you don't get any more banged up than you already are, and you can get a couple of these guys back before the end of the regular season, then I think this team has an opportunity And really, as a Pats fan, isn't that all we're asking for? Isn't that all you ask for every year as a fan, is you ask for the opportunity to be competitive? Think about that for a second. Web radio at patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It is Nitpick Tuesday here in the playbook, so I know you have some things that you need to nitpick about, and I do want to hear from you. I'm going to get to more emails. I've got some more Facebook posts to share with you. Phone lines are open for you. If you want to go that route, we can do it talk show style. But I also want to know the answer to the question. Now that this team has assumed control of the AFC East again, are they, in your mind, a true AFC contender overall to get back to the big game? We continue with that coming up in the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide CPitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Ooh, right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Tony, who sent the prescient email a short while ago, patting himself on the back for last week and predicting this week's romp, he says, I'm driving, so it's short and sweet, but he says, Pats 38-13. I'm assuming for this next Monday night against the Chiefs. Hey, we're going to look at the debut of Tyler Palco, the former Pittsburgh Panther at quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome to the NFL, huh? Could be an opportunity there. You think? Tim says, revisiting via Facebook, it says, revisiting the contender question after looking things over and clipping in some rose-colored lenses. With Cotton Schwab going down, who knows what the Texans will be like. That leaves Roethlisberger as the only really proven quarterback of a team in a playoff spot right now in the AFC. Raiders, Ravens, Bungles, Jets, no arms there scare me. And if San Fran can make the Super Bowl from the NFC, who knows? It's pretty much cutting it to the chase, isn't it, right there, when you think about it. I mean, other than Roethlisberger, what other quarterback do you fear has his team in position? Is there anybody out there? That's a good way to look at it. Tim, we're on the same brainwave here. It's good stuff all the way around, you know? Are we a brother from another mother? I don't know. We could be. Steve in Toronto. Steve, you're in the playbook. What's going on today?
Hey, thank you for the call.
Sure, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, there's a whole bunch of things that other people covered, but as far as the contender thing goes, we're never going to be a contender unless the defense grows.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. We certainly think, you know, that, you know, let's put it this way. We can see that there are definitive problems, but as I've said all along, and I know the PFW guys will back me up on this, but as long as you have a pass rush that can disrupt a pass game and certainly make an average at best quarterback like Mark Sanchez appear to be flustered, then you're going to have a chance to win every time out, and you're going to make Antoine Molden and Kyle Arrington look, you know, passable. And you're going to have that, because if you don't have the pass rush, then Antoine Molden and Kyle Arrington are going to look terrible. So if you have the pass rush, you're in it. If you don't have the pass rush, you're not in it. Pretty simple to see.
Well, yes, but okay. So this is the first game all season we've had a pass rush.
No, I disagree with that. We've had a pass rush in the games. We just haven't been able to get to the quarterback. There's a difference. And the reason I think that we...
Okay, if you want to talk pressure...
Yeah.
I agree with you. If you want to talk pressure, there hasn't been enough overall up until this last game, correct?
We've seen signs of it coming. They've collapsed the pocket. If you go back and look at it, you can see the pocket collapsing, but better quarterbacks than Sanchez know how to step up into the pocket and take advantage of that. Sanchez can't do that, and I think that's the main reason why the Patriots blew out the Jets.
That's fine, but that's the point is in the playoffs, or those quarterbacks are going to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I just had somebody on Facebook tell me, you know, when you look at, you know, potential playoff teams, what quarterbacks scare you? Other than Roethlisberger, there may not be anybody. And so if that's the case, then
Falco.
Shane Falco. That's great.
It was a 48 slip of
Steve, that just
that
made,
was good.
That was good, man. That's great. And you have to love how I jumped right in there with that because I knew exactly what you were talking about. That's awesome.
I actually didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, but you're right. You're totally right. Yeah. Tyler Falco is who we're talking about here. But yeah, it might as well be Shane Falco. I love it. We have way too much fun on this show. We have way too much fun. That's good. We need some good Gene Hackman. Kev, we need some Gene Hackman. We've got to find it. All right? He's going to go look for it. We need some Gene Hackman. Oh, my goodness.
Something else, you can steal a whole bunch of stuff from that whole movie.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's good one-liners in that movie. Absolutely. How about the kicker? Shane, you hold it. I'll kick the bloody piss out of it. Love it. Oh, my gosh, I love it. That's a great movie for one-liners.
My point with them is that, yes, they've been inconsistent as all hell, but, you know, the day that they're on,
yeah,
they can beat anybody.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, and that's really kind of where we are. When they're on, they can beat anybody. When they're off, they can lose to anybody. So we're still there. But what's going to transform them from that kind of a position into a true contender, which is why I asked the question today, yeah, and which the playoffs is, you know, they've got to continue to improve in what areas. So are we there yet? Probably not. But are we moving in that direction? Hey, I saw signs of it this week, and except for the little blip in the radar against the Giants 2 weeks ago, this team has made some fairly steady improvement, and that's a good sign. And it's going to get better. Should get better. Yeah.
Well, we hope, but I can also, like, because Bill's been pissing me off with the whole value thing for, like, 5 years now.
Well, I don't think there's too many people that are real happy with that, Steve.
But at the same time, this is the first year I've ever seen him, like, okay, this isn't working. I'm going to cut my losses.
Mm-hmm. On a couple of occasions,
like,
he has already.
It's not like he hasn't done it before once or so.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like doing it like how many? He's cut 5, 6.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think so.
Okay, he's basically looked at it that instead of hanging with the veterans and hoping they're going to improve and hoping they're going to like buy into the system, he's just looked at it and said, either they're hurt, or they have the wrong attitude, or they're just not getting it.
Right, right.
And he's been cutting lots. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's leaving him with what was supposed to be depth, and then he's got to work on depth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we are. This team has got to work on depth, and there ain't a whole lot they can do about it right now. They have to play with what they have. This is, you know, they made some, you know, poor decisions this year. They apparently have made a couple of good ones. We'll know more over the course of the next month of the season. We'll know how much more they really have to work in the offseason. It's clear they're going to have to do some work, and I hope that they don't go for the value. I hope they do, if they have a chance to choose highly, that they do select highly. But then again, given the track record, I wouldn't be surprised by anything.
Well, no, he still thinks that works, and I don't understand why. But
well, until it doesn't work for an extended period of time, that's probably what he's going with, and I think that's something we all have to kind of get used to. Steve, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Sean, who sends this via Facebook. Sean the Chowderhead says, John, of course the Patriots are contenders. They were before the Jets came. When you're tied for the lead for first in your division, you are contending. Doesn't matter what you think will happen in the playoffs. If you're playing in mid-January, you're a contender. I'd be surprised if New England doesn't get a bye. Right now, they're tied for first in the AFC at 6-3. AFC East. Okay, AFC. That's right. You can lose on any given Sunday, but looking at the Pats' schedule, a loss does not pop out. KC without Castle. Eagles most likely without Vic. Redskins with rotating, struggling QBs, the winless Colts, the rebuilding Broncos, rebuilding Dolphins, and the failing Bills at home. There may be a Cleveland Browns in that group, but no team has a more favorable schedule right now, and I seriously see the Patriots winning out. With all that being said, right now I'm only truly concerned about beating the Chiefs on Monday night. All right, Chowderhead, thanks. No argument with that. I would kind of share those same sentiments. You should be favored, as I said, for the rest of the season. Could be a stinker in there, but yeah. Yeah, there's an opportunity to go 13-3. 13-3 should not only win you the division, should get you the bye in the opening round. Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. John, I was going to write this in for progress, but realized it's better suited for the nitpick section. Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Aaron. As happy as I am with this week's win, I'm even more pissed off than ever. Look what happens when you generate a pass rush. Pats had Jag Jaggerson and practice squad Pete lining up in the defensive secondary, and they held it together because the pass rush was so damn good. Sanchez was shaken up and worried about the pressure all day, which allowed the secondary and at least one linebacker to make some plays. Just imagine what this team could have done these past 2 years if they'd had a consistent pass rush. Last year's 14-2 team could have been or would have been Super Bowl bound. We can't ignore this anymore, and it needs to get fixed before Brady's window closes. All right, that's it for me, John. And, oh, as for Belichick leaving, I heard that someone found a letter that Rex Ryan was writing to Santa, and that's just what he's asking for. Sorry, Rexy, but it's going to be another lump of cold Christmas again this year. Good stuff. Yeah, I am very much an advocate for, seizing the opportunity, carpe diem, before Brady's window of opportunity closes. And that's why I was not for Richard Seymour's trade a couple of years ago. I just wasn't. Still not. And I understand why it was made, but I want to win now. And I thought that was the best chance they had to win. Clearly, they didn't win when they traded him. So how do we know what will ever happen with him? And you can say, well, we're never in a position to get, you know, so-and-so and so. Well, that's true. But then again, you never know, because a move 2 years ago can change all kinds of course of events over the past couple of years. Could have been other trades made it. We don't know. We just don't know. The window's closing, kids. The window's closing. You've got to seize the opportunity now. And I think largely that's why we saw what we did coming into the season with this team and some of the decisions that were made. Unfortunately, what we've seen is also that some of these decisions are not panning out. So now you've got to evaluate, knowing that you're a year closer to the day that Tom Brady walks away, and you've got to figure out a way to win. And I'd say probably within, if not this year, within the next 2 to 3 years. That's what you're looking at. That's what you're looking at. Fat Pat in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Pat, you're in the playbook. How are you?
How you doing, John? How are you?
I'm great. How's it going today?
I'm all right, man.
What's shaking?
Right, I just had a question. I don't really want to, you know, be a dead horse or whatever, but I do want to talk about the Gronk touchdown and the whole out of the pocket thing.
Okay.
Like, my question is this. If, because usually the NFL is really, like, black and white with these things, with these sort of things. Like, if a quarterback is in the pocket, out of the pocket, or, you know, forward pass, backward pass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, my thing is, if he's on the line, does that count as being out of the pocket? Because I know, like, for like, an illegal forward pass, like, the quarterback's entire body has to be across the line of scrimmage. Correct?
I don't know if it's so much the entire body. It depends on the spot of the football. I think a quarterback has to have some part of his body actually across the line for it to be an illegal forward pass.
Because, I've seen it a few times where, like, Roethlisberger and the scrambling type of quarterbacks, even with McNabb a few times, that once they get really close to the line of scrimmage, they always say the entire body has to be across the line of scrimmage. Like, if he's on the line, he can still throw it.
Well, yeah, you know? If you're on the line, that could very well be. But I think that's a judgment call. And frankly, it's a judgment call whether a quarterback's in or out of the pocket. You know, the pocket's imaginary, all right? There's not even any television graphic that can show us a pocket. The pocket is the open space between the offensive lineman and the quarterback once the ball is snapped. That, in effect, is the pocket. Sometimes the pocket collapses quickly. Other times the pocket moves depending upon the play that's called. But
it's, oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, It's up to the back judge largely, I think, or the umpire to make a call on whether or not a quarterback is out of the pocket and whether or not, you know, someone should be, a quarterback should be considered for grounding or what have you. That is up to the official. There is no definitive, okay, he's out of the red zone type of thing, so it's a grounding call. That's up to the officials to make the call.
Yeah, because they usually say the tackle box. That's what they usually have as like a measuring thing for the pocket.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. And, I can see that. Yeah.
And so this call it's not reviewable either. Is it reviewable at all if the quarterback was in or out of the pocket?
I don't believe it is, because it's a judgment.
I mean, I figure it would be because I see it just the same way as the illegal forward.
It only depends on whether or not there was a foul or a penalty occurring on the play. The official can't go into the booth and say, "I want to see if the quarterback's out of the pocket." I don't think he can do that. I think that if a coach challenged a ruling or something, I think it's possible that you could do that. But I think the only way that an official could initiate that is if there was a foul on the play.
Well, yeah, exactly. But like, just like what happened on Gronk's touchdown. Like, let's say the penalty happened, and then the referees waved it off because they said the quarterback was out of the pocket. Could Bill Belichick challenge and say my quarterback was in the pocket? You know, and if he does challenge, that,
I see.
Is it his whole body has to be out of the pocket, or just like that 1 foot? If they're using the measuring stick of the
that's impossible to say because again, it's not a defined line. I mean, even on a forward pass, it's a defined line because you've got a line of scrimmage. So I don't believe that would be. I don't think he could throw the flag on that because again, it's a judgment, a decision by the officials. What else? What would Bill have to back up his claim that he wasn't out of the pocket? He wouldn't have anything. You see what I'm saying? He'd have nothing. He'd have nothing to back that up. So no, I don't think he could challenge that.
I thought the tackle box was like an official spot.
No,
that's why I was asking about.
No.
Okay, I just have one more question for you, John.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure if anybody, I haven't really heard anybody bring this up yet or made this comparison, but when you look at, Plaxico Burress, he just, like, came out of jail, and went out with the Jets, signed with a new team, he's making an impact now. He had, like, 3 touchdowns in one game 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I just don't still understand this Ocho thing. I mean, really, because it's like Ocho's been in the game of football, and how is somebody like Plaxico Burress, who just came out of jail, and he's making plays, and Ocho still can't do it?
Well,
I mean, first
that
of might all, be an unanswerable
no,
question, but it's just
no. I see what. Yeah, I see where you're going. I don't think it's a wrong question to ask. I would say first of all that they're two different receivers, and the talents that they bring are different. What the Patriots need in Ocho and what the Jets are getting in Burress are two different things. The Jets look to Burress to be able to, the type of receiver that's not going to bust you downfield, but is also going to be able to do some damage in the red zone. Whereas Ocho is the kind of guy where really his best benefit to the Patriots is going to be able to stretch a defense. Whereas, if they're going to look for somebody in the red zone, you know who they're going to. They're going to Gronk or Hernandez or even Welker for that matter. So I think the two receivers are being relied on differently by their respective teams. So I don't think one has to do with the other. I don't think one has to do with the other.
All right, I still just don't get it. But I mean, it's not. Yeah, it's just going to be the way it is, I guess.
Well, yeah, you're right. And we did see Ocho with a 53-yard play this week. So that tells me that Brady's feeling a little better about Ocho, and maybe it'll still come, and who knows? I mean, that was a significant play in terms of offensive momentum on Sunday night. So that's really, to me, that's his first significant play of the season. And if we can pull a few more out of him than that, then I consider it gravy.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, Pat and Abel. Joel. Despite how bad our defense plays, I believe all AFC teams fear playing us in the playoffs. We are a team that knows how to turn on and off when we need to. And I hate this talk that the Patriots are a group of unknown. If you're a part of the Pats Nation, you know who comes and goes. I'm familiar with all the players that was out there playing, and I think that was disrespectful to say that. This is what we do here in Boston. We make things happen when people don't believe in us. Well, now there's a Pats fan, right? Joel, thank you for speaking up. Jamal in New York. I think Bill, the GM, has really hurt this team. I like the way he trades down and just acquires so many picks. The people he's choosing are just players I've never really heard of, and I think you can get in the later rounds, such as Stephen Ridley. Maybe. Maybe. I was hoping the Patriots drafted Brooks Reed in the second round and DeMarco Murray in the third because I thought he was a first-round running back if he didn't get hurt so much. I'd like to call in, but the phone just keeps ringing. What do I do? Oh, sorry, Jamal. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I've been sitting here. I don't know. Kevin had to leave for about a split second, but maybe you called when he did. I don't know. I didn't see it ring, so you know, I'm very sorry about that. But usually we
call on back in.
There you go. He's there right now. If you want to call in, it's all good. 508-298-0398. Maybe you called the wrong number. I don't know. I mean, I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
John calls himself.
Yeah, names, too. Hi, guys. Love the show. Before I answer, you should know I was at the game on Sunday. I drove in with my good friend, who's a season ticket holder with the Jets. Was taking me to the game. I drove, and when the stadium was virtually empty by the middle of the fourth quarter, I made him suffer and continue to stay and watch his team get dismantled rather than spare him and leave. It's always fun to watch a Jets fan get deflated. Yes. By the way, I must say, that was absolutely the best mass exodus of fandom I had ever seen after we had Ninkovich's pick six. Was that not great? Did they show it on TV? Because where I was sitting, I mean, I thought the stadium was going to come crumbling down because we had this human wave of humanity get up and leave MetLife Stadium. I mean, it was incredible. I'd never seen everybody literally get up and leave at once. And that's what happened. It's so cool when you can go in as the enemy and come out of a game with a win. I mean, I'm telling you, that's one of the best feelings in sports when you can go on the road and get a W. Because everybody's against you. Nobody's with you. It's just you against the elements, against the fans, against everything there. You're in a foreign place. Nobody thinks you can do it. Boo, you suck. And you go in and you kick ass. That is the most unbelievable feeling. Ask any player. They'll tell you the same. Some of the best experiences I've had in my professional life have been as a broadcaster for a team, going into visiting venues and winning. Great example, when I was doing Boston College football, going into South Bend and beating Notre Dame. Oh, God, is that great.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of going on one of those.
Is that
trips.
Not the best yeah. feeling at all? When you can go in and you can shut up 80,000 people?
Yeah, I went
people?
Back in the Matt Ryan era. And, and traveled.
Well, then you were at the same game that I probably called.
Yeah, and sat in there, and it was great. It was great. We had a party afterwards.
And that's what happened Sunday night. 80,000 people. You shut them up. After Ninkovich had the pick six, I mean, I thought the ground was shaking because everybody got up and moved at once. That was amazing. Amazing to see. Ray says, you asked, does the win on Sunday return the Patriots to the elite in the AFC? My answer is yes, it absolutely does, provided the team can perform to the same level or higher for the rest of the season. On Sunday, and I've got to say, the team seemed like they were really firing on all cylinders for once. Everyone did their job and did it with confidence. Major props to Andre Carter and Anderson for proving the Patriots do have a legitimate pass rush when they need to. All right, Ray, good stuff. Bruce in Baltimore. John, while I would love to put the Patriots in that category of contender, I am of the opinion that there are no teams in the AFC that I would consider elite this year. There are a handful of teams that are contenders, but they all have their own Achilles heel. Patriots, Steelers, Texans, Ravens, and yes, even the Jets are still all on the list. They're all contenders. When they pull it all together and execute, any team on the list can beat any other team on the list. I want to believe the Patriots are the best coached and best led to pull it all together when it matters, but I really need to see a playoff win to be sure. Yeah, guys, it really depends. I mean, are you still a contender if you know your team can't win a playoff? But then again, are you a contender if you can't win a playoff? And I would argue that, well, yeah, you're probably not a contender if you can't win a playoff game. And that's what the Patriots have struggled, as we all know, to do over the last couple of years. But We're putting the cart before the horse. You got to get to the playoffs before you can worry about winning a game. So the playoffs really don't kind of enter into the equation for the question I asked today, is this team a contender? Because we're still 6 weeks away, 7 weeks away. Cedric in Chicago. Hello, John. Always a pleasure to hear from you, and thank you, Cedric. Same to you. Sunday was more about the Jets' offense than the Pats' defense. I think Jets' offense just stunk, or he says stink, plain and simple. Patriots' defense looked really bad against quarterbacks that could exploit them like Ben and Eli. I'm still very worried because of the secondary. The two positives, in my opinion, was that the offense seemed to finally click on all cylinders again. I am a realist. The offense has to score a lot of points to support the defense and help us win. Well, they did get 30. They did get back on the right track with 30, and then, of course, the Ninkovich pick six made it 37. So you'd have to say, yeah, that's a step in the right direction again. The other positive, he says, is Andre Carter. He's playing inspirational football right now, finally a pass rusher in that defense. My question, though, is if we switch back to a 3-4 next year, will he probably be unhappy because he doesn't like to play that position? Bill was happy, by the way. Well, you know, tough to ask that because we don't know. I mean, you got to get through this year first before we can think about going back to a 3-4 next year. They're already playing some elements of 3-4 out there, Cedric. I mean, if you watch them, you'll see a lot of times they will go with three down linemen and bring an edge rusher from the outside. And in fact, that is a 3-4 defense. They're primarily now in the 4-3, but they do have some three-man front elements that they mix and match. So I don't know that your question really is one that we can answer right now. He says, I think that the Pats are a contender in the AFC because Baltimore has questions at quarterback with Joe Flacco. Houston lost Schaub for the season. The only threat for the Pats in the AFC, I think, is Pittsburgh. Can't disagree with that. Can't disagree with that at all. Baltimore does worry me because of the defense overall, but their offense is anemic. Cincinnati worries me in a sense because their defense has certainly proven to be stiff, pretty decent. But, you know, if you get Cincinnati here, I feel much better about it than if you got Cincinnati there. No disagreements. Pittsburgh's the team. Pittsburgh's the team. I would also say that depending upon what happens in the AFC West, if it is San Diego, that San Diego's personnel, even though the Patriots did beat them here, but San Diego's personnel, I think, is capable of doing some damage. That's all. But can you really find somebody? I think, you know, Houston was a team that might that you might be concerned with until, you know, Schaub went down this week. So it may very well be, and some of you have already alluded to this with your comments today, may very well be that by default the Patriots not only are but will remain a true contender in the AFC for the foreseeable future, at least for this year. It's not a bad thing, right? Gene in Daytona. John and Kevin, wins over the Jets are nice, but I never thought the Jets were that good, just lucky. What excites me is I see young undrafted free agents in there like I saw in those first two preseason games, playing with a lot of heart for each other like we saw in those first Super Bowl teams. I've been asking myself, why not play these young guys who have energy? I see these guys trying to wait a second. All right, Gene, hold on. We're playing these guys because we have to. Because we got guys that are hurt in front of them. We're not, you know, going to sit here and say, oh, they should have been playing these guys all along. Because that's just silly. You're not going to just play these guys all along. They're free agents for a reason. The fact that they're rising to the occasion and doing what the Patriots ask them to do is one thing. And, yeah, they should be supported and lauded and congratulated for doing that because you'd have to say that an undrafted free agent is probably tougher to do the job you ask them to do than a drafted guy or a contracted guy or a high draft pick or a high-salaried guy. But you don't have any of those right now. So to say that we might have been, and I know you're going this route, to say that we might have should played some of these younger guys earlier, no, don't go there because that's just silly. That's just silly. You're playing guys because you have to. You're forced to play these guys. You don't have any choice. So if you're forced to play these guys and they're doing the job, great. Great. I like what I saw on Sunday, but I'm afraid BB will go back to those seasoned vets he trusted instead of the hungry bunch that wants to prove people wrong. Nah. What if he does? What if he does? They're veterans for a reason. They're high-salary guys. They were drafted guys for a reason. Just because a guy is hungry doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be better. Says, don't underestimate the addition of Marcus Cannon. This guy will resupply a lot of people. Once he plays, you'll not be able to get him out of the lineup. His energy will inspire us all. The Patriots have not yet made it official, but Marcus Cannon, the offensive line, the rookie offensive lineman out of TCU, who has been fighting non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and apparently is in remission, is expected to be added back to the active roster today. But again, the Patriots have not yet made that call official. But that is indeed out there, that he's going to be added back. And if it is, then that's quite a story. He's come all the way back, if indeed that does happen. And yes, the Patriots can certainly use his presence on the offensive line. They can use some depth. By the way, another nitpick. Logan Mankins in the penalties. What's up with that? I mean, here's a guy that's considered to be one of the best offensive linemen, if not the best offensive guard in the league, and he still makes illegal procedure penalties. I mean, I'm not understanding that. Why? You're not the best at anything if you continue to shoot yourself in the foot like that. Doesn't that call into question something in your mind? Just had to get that out. Joshua says, Big Al needs to get a job. He calls every sports talk show on the air and web every day. Jeez. Maybe he's, Joshua, did you ever think of this? Maybe Big Al is independently wealthy and doesn't need to work. Maybe Big Al is going to leave me a big fat sum of money in his will, and he can call in any time he wants to. Got your back, Al. Got your back. Oh, Stephen Killeen, send us some quotes. Send us some quotes here. He says, John, by far, this is one of the best set of quotes from Shane Falco. I wish I could say something classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style. Oh, and the best one? Yeah, I agree. This is the best one, Stephen. Here you go. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever. Yes! That's a good one. Shane Falco quotes. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever. I mean, whoever wrote that line for that movie needs to get an Oscar himself or herself. We got to find that line. We need that. Because I think that should be like the motto of this program. Don't you think, Kevin? The playbook needs a motto. We need a saying. We need something we can hang our hats on. I choose Shane Falco's Pain Heals, Chicks Dig Scars, Glory Lasts Forever. We got to find it. Got to find it. I'm going to put you on that's your mission. If you choose to step up.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever. Right on. Shotgun. DC right. Flip 90. Dig. On the center. On the center. Ready?
Love it. Love it. That's great stuff. Oh. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever. God, that's just classic. That's classic. Eldridge in North Carolina, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Eldridge?
Glad about this win Sunday night, and I'm happy. I don't know what, but got a question for you.
Go.
Defense played inspiringly. I liked it. No, yes, they're still making mistakes, but I say they're young. Since McCourty's out for 2 to 3 weeks, see any chance the corners get a little bit stronger, a little bit better, since they like hitting?
All right, say that again, because I didn't understand the last part of your question.
Since McCourty is out for 2 to 3 weeks,
yeah,
right. The corners played pretty good, but they, still lost in coverage a little bit.
Yeah,
any chance of them being better, or were they just up for the chance?
No,
might be a letdown for the Kansas City.
No, I think there's every chance that they can get a little bit better because they're going to get the reps, and anytime you get reps, it stands to reason you're going to improve as long as you're out there, you know, practicing and plying your trade. But like I said earlier, Eldridge, the key here is the guys up front. If the guys up front are continuing to pressure the quarterback, then those guys in the back are going to be better. It's that simple. People don't understand that equation. It's very simple. Defensive back is the toughest, to me, the toughest position to play on the football field, bar none, because you are constantly running backwards or running forwards with the ball being thrown behind you, and you have to adjust. You need sometimes incredible athleticism to be able to make a play on the ball, and then what happens if the receiver stops short and you smack him like Sergio Brown has done before? You get flagged for interference. It's a tough position to play. But if you're getting a pass rush, you don't have to cover the receiver as long as you would if you're not getting a pass rush. And so if you're getting pass rush, those guys are going to be better. It's that simple.
Yes, I see that. And I also saw that I think they yanked Ellis because Ellis, like, he was getting beat a lot. And when they put Anderson in there, him and Carter did do good. And, yeah, I love that defense because I was cheering for once. In 9 weeks, I was cheering for the defense for once.
Yeah, they, you know, it was nice to see some of the younger guys come in there. And it was kind of cool to see, you know, Tarpinian and White come in and have some meaningful time and minutes and make plays. It's a shame that they had to do it, you know, because other guys had gone down. But, again, that's just part of the quote-unquote Patriot way of doing things. When one guy goes down, it's expected the next guy up gets the job done. And I think that this last Sunday night was the first time we've really seen that this year.
Well, I got two more questions. I'm going to let it go.
Go.
First question. Brady, that's my hero. But did he look a little gunshot first quarter?
Yes.
First and second quarter?
Yes,
like
he did.
He was missing them and he was shot hard, whatever?
Yes, he did.
I just couldn't understand that. And second question is, I'm glad we got Underwood back. Any words about him working out, you know, going for a reality threat? That's all I want to know.
We will find that out when they return to practice tomorrow. And if he's out there on the field, then obviously that will answer the question. How's that?
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jamal in New York. See, Jamal, we're here.
Hello. Hey, Josh.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, I just have one question about is there anybody, like, who makes the decisions, like, on picking besides, like, is there anybody that helped Bill Belichick besides Nick Caserio?
There's a group of guys that have input. They get input from their college scouts. They get input from their pro scouts. But, you know, Caserio probably makes a recommendation, but Bill has the bottom line. He has the last call.
Yeah, because, like, when people, like say certain things, okay, you know, even if the team needs a pass rusher or he takes, like, Ross Idalic, for instance, he's injury prone. You don't know, you don't really want to take a chance on a guy that's been injured since high school.
Well,
you know, you need a passer, and Brooks, you know, he's a potential first rounder.
You're right. And they took a chance on a guy like Ross Eye because they thought that he was a first round draft pick, if he had been healthy, and they thought he would slide, and they thought with first round talent to get him at where they were getting him was the quote unquote value pick to make. Now, admittedly, you take a chance on some of those. They took a chance on him, and I'm not willing to completely, you know, throw in the towel on Ross Eye. I'm not yet because this was just his rookie year, but if he doesn't come back, you know, he's going to have plenty of time to get healed now, all right? Plenty of time to get healed. So if he comes back next summer or he comes back to, OTAs and gets hurt again quickly, then I'm going to say that's it. Cut him now. Move on. Because, you know, he's going to have time to get healthy. But if a guy's going to get healthy and he's not doing anything, then you got a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. But also one thing, I think Bill Belichick, he seems like he can't wait for the next rookie draft. Because I was listening to him on WEI earlier, and he was like, oh, he was like rooting for the Falcons, and he like, you know, he's like, oh, we have the Saints first round, and he was just talking about that. It seems like he might actually use both first rounds this year, next draft.
Well, if they do, then I think a lot of fans will be very happy with that.
Yeah, there's actually a couple, you know, guys coming out, such as Alabama, it's like one guy from Marshall that actually might fall later in the draft.
Sure. Sure.
And it seems like, and maybe he'll actually draft one of those guys. Maybe he actually looks two drafts down.
Well,
okay, we don't have a draft pass rush this draft. We'll get one the next draft, and we'll get my free agency.
Well, first of all, the draft, the evaluation of players is a constant thing. It's just because the season is going on.
Yeah,
it's not out there like, you know, it would be there in the off season. But they're always evaluating players, even during the year. We just don't hear as much about it.
Yeah, because that's what it seemed like he was talking about, how he was really going for the Falcons, because they were talking about the 4-for-1 call with the Falcons had made.
Right, but they're always evaluating guys.
Okay, that's all I had.
All right, Jamal, thanks for the call, pal. Joel says, I'm going to get one of my emails read. Okay, maybe this one. My nitpick for today is not really a nitpick. Just want to say that I am confident that after Brady leaves, this team will continue to win with Ryan Mallett. He's going to be the future of this team. Not sure what you base that on, but okay. Maybe that's just a little, you know, prediction. Emmanuel. Guys, I enjoyed seeing our Pats play a complete game with offense and defense and special teams doing as good a job playing as a team. But on defense, it's against Sucky Sanchez. I mean, come on. It's not Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. I do believe, though, that in the AFC, now it's Tom Brady and Big Ben. I know it's early, still in the season, but hard not to look ahead to see whose QB we might face in the Super Bowl if we get there. I know it's one game at a time. I hope our secondary can just get better week by week. Thanks. Awesome show as always. And P.S. I do miss Richard Seymour too. All right, we touched a lot of bases on that one. All right, good. All right, let's see. Do we have any other? Where are my Facebook posts here? Ah, here we go. Let's see if we can find it. There we go. Come on to Papa. All right, here we go. This one comes from Angel. He says, John, I'm listening live for the first time. I usually download the podcast. I'm lucky now to tune in and ask away. I had one question on the future of the Pats. What do you think they're going to do for the strong safety position next year? Will they get a high draft pick or the classic trade for maybe a great veteran or just leave it the same? What do you think? Well, what do you think, Pete?
Who the hell knows? I'm trying to get through today.
I know.
I mean, come on. You're worried about who's playing all these games left this year, and you're worried about who's going to play safety next year of all the things that can possibly happen.
Here's what happens with that, Angel. Try to answer your question the best way I can. Pete's right. They got to get through this year first. But at the same time, as I just told Jamal on the phone call, the evaluation process is ongoing. They're always evaluating players. And by that, I mean college guys, pros that could be tradable, pros that could be free agents, and not necessarily in that order. So the evaluation process is constant. And once the season is over and they take stock of where they are, not only with who's on the depth chart, but who's healthy and who's not, and what the contractual situation is, which, by the way, may be the number one reason whether or not a guy comes or goes, then they weigh all that, they kind of put it in a bag, and then they take a look at it and say, all right, here's what we think we should do. They come up with a plan of attack. So really, to say what they're going to do is darn near impossible. Will they draft somebody?
How can anybody tell you what they're going to do? November 15th.
If they draft somebody, my guess would be that it would have to be somebody who they feel like is of a value pick that they don't want anybody else to go get. I don't know that that person exists.
Hey, I'll take the whole LSU secondary. Give them all to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alabama's not far behind either.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be actually a pretty good choice. I don't think you could go real wrong with that,
no,
do you?
No, not at all.
What's up, man?
Nothing. Good.
Did you have fun watching on Sunday?
I had a great time watching on Sunday, and glad I didn't get to see any of the game, but glad the Friars started off pretty well.
It was a big win last night. It really was. It was a good win.
Fairleigh Dickinson, it's hard to believe you'd say that, but it is a big win for them.
Well, the Fairfield game last night, the Fairfield's going to be, it could be an NCAA team, and they went on.
Oh, that's right. They beat Fairfield last night. So that's the 2-0 to start the season. That's
2-0,
right. Yeah.
2-0 to start. So that was actually a really good W for them, and I don't expect a lot for this season, but that was a nice one to see.
Well, you never know. Remember when Rick was here, no one expected much there either.
That's also true.
You know,
people did say that. Yeah, that's true. I don't think this team has the depth.
No, I mean, but who thought that team had the depth either?
Okay. Good
you know,
point.
Remember.
Good point. All right, well, you
Yasik
know what?
Duda.
If it turns out that way, I'll give you full credit for it.
No, I'm just saying you don't know. You know, the one thing about, I know it's all football and everything, but that, you know, I'll never forget Rick. I remember being, and he is what he is, but
yes,
he was a great college coach. And
yes,
he was. But I'll never forget. You were probably doing the game. You might have been at the, were you doing the games back in 87?
No, that was actually the year before I got here.
The year before you got here? Well, I remember they were playing Columbia. And we might have talked about this before, but I remember being at the game. There's probably 7,000 people or 8,000 against Columbia. It was one of the games that now. And some fans start, PC's up by like 25 in the first half. And some fan starts screaming over at Patino from across the way, from across the bench, about all the cream puffs he's playing. He throws the clipboard down while the game's going on, stays out of bounds, and walks all the way across and starts screaming at the fans, saying, yeah, but when we were at the Final Four, he goes, you remember this conversation. You remember that these kind of wins that are going to get us there. I'm trying to evaluate my – it was absolutely hysterical.
Nice. And he was right.
He was right. But you got to be – I'm looking at all the PFW Crow that's around here.
Yeah.
And they only went through half of their crow today.
Yeah. So you know. You're going to send them through the other half?
Well, and it always amazes me. It's not just them, because they're great guys, and everybody has their own opinion. And a lot, and I never, you know, it fascinates me now at this day and age. It's not just local, it's national media, how they do not take into consideration character of what this Patriots team is all about. And that has can overcome a lot of inefficiencies. It has over the years, time and time again, and I keep trying to drill into people's heads that you have to factor that in. I don't care what the roster looks like. This team responds to that coach, and for the most part, that quarterback, and a lot of those veterans there. They have a ton of pride in this organization, and people just get caught up in buzzwords and little phrases during the week, and it snowballs, and they end up making fools out of themselves come 11:30, 12 o'clock on Sunday night. It happens over and over and over again, especially with this team. I've seen it for over a decade now. I don't know, maybe, I'm not saying I'm any genius or whatever, because most of the time I pick them to win, because I think they deserve to be picked most of the time to win. But I just had a feeling, I didn't care what the roster looked like. The fact that they have overcome stuff like this before so many times, and when everybody in the world gives up on them, not only do they win, they usually win pretty big. It happened again.
That's okay, all. Fair enough.
It's off my soapbox.
It's a good rant. No, it's a good rant.
And by the way, till I give you the resume, this is kind of not. I'm not doing it during my show, but the Tyler Palco resume, quite amusing.
We call him, Shane Falco.
Yeah. I heard that. That was very. get ready for 40 plus. Get ready for 40 plus on Monday night, kids.
I hope you're right.
Get ready for that.
All right, Kat in Chicago says, John and Kevin, I didn't expect to win, but was very glad to be surprised and have never been happier to be wrong. I agree with the nitpick about the kick returns and that Brady hasn't looked 100% for at least the past four or five games. But looking forward to seeing if Carter and Anderson can duplicate the performance in the coming weeks. Sorry if this has been covered before, but do we know what is going on with Spikes? Do we have a return ETA? Linebackers played well this week, but I'd like to have him back ASAP. I don't think we discovered, we didn't talk about that. But did the PFW guys bring up anything on that?
No, I mean, he still has the sprained MCL.
Right.
And
which means it's going to be at least a couple of weeks, right?
Gerard Mayo has a similar injury. And, I mean, I don't think
he was gone for a month.
I still don't think he's right.
No.
But, well, he's not 100%.
Yeah,
no,
that's what
I mean. But he had 10 tackles, I think, right?
True. So if you're looking at an estimated arrival time for Spikes, I would say it's at least another couple weeks.
And then we're also looking at potentially 3 or 4 weeks for McCourty, if indeed it is a separated shoulder.
Yeah.
So. That's what we're looking at. Chris says, nitpick, when was the last time the Patriots scored a touchdown on a punt or kick return? Honest question. Brandon Tate scored 2 weeks ago for Cincinnati. No one is scared to punt to Edelman. We always have 80 or 90 yards to go to score a touchdown. That was sort of my nitpick. Next time they call a fair catch inside the 10, I'm going to scream out loud. That's all there is to it. Going to scream out loud.
I agree with that. That should never happen.
No, it should.
Not at this level.
No, not at this level.
See it in college sometimes, but.
That's just stupidity.
It is. Yeah, it's just, you just. So I know some of it's instinct, but you got to realize as a professional where you are.
Keith says, John, I don't think the Pats can be considered contenders just yet. They've been too inconsistent, in my opinion. We had three fantastic offensive displays to open the show, a decent defensive display against Dallas, some poor offensive games. Neither side of the ball played well against the Giants. This was the first game of the season where the Pats have played tolerably well across the board. And unless and until they do that for several games on the trot, well, I'll remain worried because I won't know which Patriot team's going to walk onto the field. That's fair. You need some consistency. I don't agree with it, but I think you need some consistency.
I think they've done it more than once, and I mean, you know. I think
but it's fair.
It's fair. It's fair, but don't. I mean, if to think they're not a contender is absolutely asinine, because who do you think is in the AFC? Flacco in Baltimore?
Pittsburgh
Houston?
Is the only one right now that you can really have
Pittsburgh
to hang
for
your head
now,
on.
Still Cincinnati. Right. I mean, Buffalo came. I told you Buffalo's going to. I told everybody 4-0, they're going to crash down to earth.
Yeah.
Detroit, the same thing. Character.
Yeah.
When these teams start to lose, that's when you find out about them. That's why I always say you got to wait till about now, 9, 10, week 11. 9, 10, and 11. These are the three most important weeks of the year. That's when you really learn about a football team.
Paul, the final email of the day here on Facebook, he says, great win for the Pats. Really good performance from the D, and the O stepped up in the second half after a rough start. The running game concerns me a bit, particularly Law Firm, who struggled, possibly injury-related. It's also a concern that the only player our safeties could tackle was McCourtney. Good one. Plenty to encourage us, especially with a few easy games to come in the next few weeks. Philly could be tough, depending on which Eagle team shows up. Historically, we struggle at Denver, so there's a potential loss on the schedule. Secondary is still a worry, mainly because we don't have any talent back there with injuries and cuts. And this or another bad day for the offense could prove costly. So in short, good win, But this team isn't as good or as bad as people have been saying over the last few weeks. Good win? Yeah. Any win's a good win in the NFL.
That's right.
All right, Pete Shepard's coming up next. Same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow as we'll start looking at Monday Night Football at Gillette Stadium with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Shane Falco era beginning. Oh, Tyler Falco. I get those two mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
Getting on in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and the mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana. Robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel and a stunner. On them everywhere saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.